Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion, and of course, with me, my wonderful co-host, Miss Rachel. Hello, Miss Rachel.
And hello, all you fine folks out there. I am halfway back from outer space. The lovely shot in my butt wore off, so I'm almost back down to the ground level. Might still be a little off my rocker, but that's usually the case. So,
about that phone call last night, will we?
Two nights ago. Yeah. I was like, no, it wasn't the one last night. You were on a show. But yeah.
Okay, that's not
fun.
Anyway, we are here today in part, of course, with Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff. And as we know, James Caan passed away, but there were a number of people that passed away a week and a half ago. And one of them was Lenny Van Dolan. Lenny Van Dolan was on several TV shows. He's probably best known for being the lead in Electric Dreams opposite Bud Cort as the voice of the computer. And then also he was in Twin Peaks, both the original series second season and also Twin Peaks Fire Walk with Me. And so tonight we are doing a commentary watch on one of his later films, which I'm going to have Miss Rachel talk about. So why don't you talk about what we're going to watch tonight?
Well, we can start by saying that it's kind of a gross-out horror comedy. Or we could talk about the fact that it is just a rampantly beautiful feminist manifesto of, you know, degrading and debriding rape culture and toxic masculinity and all of these wonderful things. And that's all I can say right now. I can't really get much into it because I don't want to give anything away, but let's just go there.
True. But we will give you the title right now, and you might get the idea by the title. And the title of the film is Teeth. You can watch this on Freebie and also on Amazon, but we have rented the film because we don't want to deal with the free ads. So that's what we're going to do, okay? And I'm basically just at the watch now, right now on Amazon. So where
well,
are
I'm
you?
I'm queued up at Double Lots.
Okay, so let me do that momentarily, okay?
Okay. I'll do it. I do have to get
okay,
back.
Okay, I'm basically there. I'm right there. And I'm going to adjust my...
Hold on a second.
My
fire stick went to sleep. There we go.
Okay, so I'm basically right there, too. We're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then go, and we start on go. Are we ready?
I think so.
Okay, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go. Now, I will
Ooh,
tell you this.
Rated R, Carl. I don't.
Oh, of course it is.
I don't know if my mommy's going to let me watch this one.
I will say this. There was no major company that would back this. So basically, Mitchell Lichtenstein, the director, got all the money together from private sources. I will also
say
that. Oh,
yeah, he indied the shit out of this movie.
Yes, he did. And now he's directed 3 films in total, plus a couple of shorts. This is his first film. Now, he was an actor first, and we will get into that momentarily when Lenny comes on the scene. But, yes, you see the nuclear power reactors there in the back.
Yeah, very reminiscent of 3 Mile Island right there.
Oh, absolutely. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is actually set in Texas. But it could be it could easily be Central PA or Northern PA too. One, two kids in the kiddie pool and a mother and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Lenny.
Yep. Watch goddamn language. They don't nearly have water. Fact.
Okay, yes, and he is an asshole, by the way. But this was actually shut down, the production, because one of the location managers thought they were doing a porn film.
What happens there?
Exactly. Now, I love this opening, and let's see if you catch it, because when I first saw this movie, I didn't catch this.
Yeah. Doop doop doop.
By the way, Jess Winkler, who is Dawn, is really good in this. She won the award at Sundance for Best Actress. The year this was out, I think that was 2000.
Lenny Von Doolin. That's our dude.
Yes, it is. Now, the interesting thing that you may not know is that Mitchell Lichtenstein, who directed this, was originally an actor. And both he and Lenny starred in an episode of The Equalizer. And that's how they became friends. And when Mitchell did his first film, he reached out specifically to Lenny to play the part of the stepdad. Now, I think that's pretty cool. By the way, he didn't just produce this and write this. He did everything, Mitchell Lichtenstein.
Yeah.
Now, did you catch that?
Yes, I did.
I'm just... So what we have here is, what did they call this type of group, a purity group?
Yes, they're called all different kinds of things. These are very prevalent in the South. They do the whole, that's what they're doing. It's this program called The Promise, and it's like the promise rings and all that, and you pledge yourselves to each other for marriage and blah-de-blah. It's just another way for people to exert control in places that they don't need to be controlling. They need to be educating about.
And I would happen to agree with that 100%.
Oh, yeah. They've proven it time and time again. Abstinence education is A, not education, and B, 100% ineffective.
Right.
It doesn't work.
You know,
work.
It's like when we did, but I'm a cheerleader, right? You know, when you go to conversion, that's been disproven also.
Well, yeah. But abstinence courses and stuff like this, it's the same argument that people use as far as like banning guns. Well, the criminals, they're not going to listen to you tell them to do the right thing. They're going to do it anyway. Guess what? Same thing with your fucking teenagers. You tell them not to do it, they're going to find a way to do it. If you prove to them why they shouldn't be doing it without making responsible decisions about it, it's a lot more effective.
Yes. And, of course, another thing about this, and I can't really talk about this, is the idea of consent, because that's what this is about, too. This is about consent and also the rampant male assholery when it comes to, you know, thinking with our dicks, right?
Yeah.
I guess they call that toxic masculinity.
Yes, they do. Uh-oh. Suddenly that ring is starting to feel like a handcuff.
Yes, it does. I love the nuclear, and that's all CGI, by the way. There is no town in Texas, but it's still pretty fucking cool.
I mean, is there anywhere in the U.S. right now that's doing nuclear?
Oh, yeah. 3 Mile Island's still working after all these years.
No, it's not.
No, that's
dude,
right.
I just
no,
watched
not.
The documentary on that one. No, 3 Mile Island's not working.
So her mom is sick. And keep that in mind. Her mom is sick.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like old people shit.
Yeah. It's a nice relationship between those two, actually.
It really is. I feel like the three of them actually have a good relationship.
Yes. Now, when we get into the meat of this film, and yes, that was a pun, we'll get into more of the mythos of what it's talking about. That's all. So I cannot talk about being young and female, but I, you know, when you talk about, you know, when you were growing up and what was happening around you, how did you handle things in terms of
depends on the things you're asking
things
me about
like
handling. Oh, and by the way, I love him as an actor too. He was so fucking fantastic in Nip Tuck. And everything else he's done, he is so, so diverse.
Oh, yeah.
But I hate that, like, every show he's in, he ends up with, like, blatantly painted on tattoos.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Because of some traumatic things that happened to me as a child and continued to happen to me in different ways throughout my younger femininity and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a superhero movie for me.
Oh, and I can understand it. And may I just say, as a general rule, teenagers are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And high school sucks.
Oh, it does, especially when you're in a small southern town going to high school. And the mandatory sex education that they gave, because at one point it was like we had to do a 6 week course on sex education. It was
so ridiculous. Oh, absolutely.
There was stuff like that. We had the stickers in the book.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Can we just go ahead and normalize using the actual words for our private parts?
Yeah, penis, vulva, vagina.
Vagina, testicles.
Testicles? Well, if I want to go into French literature, I'll say ball sacks. But, okay. Sorry.
Right. And of course, you know, considering especially where they're saying this is supposed to be happening in Texas.
Uh-huh. And considering what's
happening
now.
That kind of shit really does happen in Texas. This has been happening for a long-ass time. People think that this is a joke or that they're exaggerating. But no, we had those pictures, and I went to school in Arkansas. Right next door. We had the stickers over shit. We had, you know, disclaimers. Parents were allowed to take their kids out of the sex education course, and they had to take a separate, like, study hall course just to get their credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it wasn't just the South either, because I was in Northwestern PA, and the redneck culture up there, trust me, was pretty fucking bad.
And side note really here, please, please excuse me, guys. One of the side effects of my medicine that I'm on for the next few days is I've got a random cough. I can just breathe, and it happens. So I'm really sorry if I have to, like, pull away and hack for a second, but I am fine. It's just a dry cough from my meds.
And he's still got a
massive scar.
Massive scar on his finger. He didn't figure it out, but we certainly have.
Part of it is just because he's so good at playing such seedy characters.
Oh, yeah.
But if you ever – he has some of the most beautiful eyeballs I've ever seen. I'm not talking like whole eye, like the whole thing with the bushy eyebrows and stuff, which I don't mind at all. But the color of his eyes is almost hypnotizing.
Mm-hmm. So when I was in high school, I didn't have a crew like this. I was one of the band nerds. And there were a couple people I connected, including TC. Not as much. I mean, that was more in college. But I had a couple of friends. But none of us were had girlfriends or anything like that. But going out in the woods and smoking dope and shit like that, oh, fuck yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
See, and it was the other way around for me. Like, I had boyfriends in high school, but I was not the kid who was smoking and drinking and doing drugs. I stayed far away from all that shit because I got plenty of it watching my father do those.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Waterfall.
I'm talking about that rope swing. Did you not see that shit?
Oh, yeah.
And I do. There's a lot of places on the waterways out here. Like, I know a very specific spot on the Caddo River, which I usually float a few times every summer. And there's a little cove that the people who own that part of the land down to the river, they put up a giant rope swing, and you can just pull off and rope swing into the river as much as you want. They don't care.
Nice. So one of the things that you're seeing here is he will not have, sex with her. He'll have, she'll go oral on him. And the reason is there's this fear. And this is where...
Don't get into that yet.
Okay.
We can't get into that yet. You don't give shit away, Carl.
Okay. I would have talked so much about the mythos. It's like, that's what I learned.
I know, and I've learned a lot about it, too. And why is he about to feed her a dog bone?
You know what this is? It's control. It's control.
I was just about to say. Yeah, it's absolutely control. I have a weird thing about people trying to feed me or putting things anywhere near my face.
Well, they're invading your space, and particularly your mouth, which your face is one of the most fragile and places that you have to defend. Yeah, I get it.
Well, part of it was, like I said, probably from some of the trauma in my earlier years, but I also dated a guy when I was in high school, and like knowing that I don't like things around my face and I'm really weird about food and stuff and textures anyway, he had chewed up some Fritos and a can of lukewarm, some sort of bean dip or something. And
okay.
I didn't know that. And he went to kiss me and spit them into my mouth.
Ooh, yuck.
I punched him, threw up, got out of the car, broke up with him, and walked by myself all the way across the base. And called my parents from the base, like the front gate of the base off, or back gate, because that's where we were, at the back gate, and had them come get me. Yeah. Like, I'm real weird about shit going in my mouth. I can't even watch pictures of birds feeding their babies.
Oh, yeah, the giant scorpion movie. What is that?
Hell
is that
yeah.
A giant Gila monster?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a mantis.
Oh, that's the deadly mantis. That's it. Thank you.
Ooh, it's a full moon. What's going to happen here?
So I sent you an article, and one of the things that they mentioned. Yes?
What?
Oh, I thought you were going about. I sent you an article, they mentioned this scene where her sexuality is coming out, but, because she's in this abstinence, she's very repressed. And you can, she's interested, but you can tell by the body language that it she stops. And by the way,
yeah.
I have to really, really applaud Mitchell Lichtenstein and how reserved he is on this film. You know, I mean, this could be extremely exploitative, and it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love the church choir.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to take that off at the wedding. Oh, but I guess this is a fantasy.
Nothing.
Absolutely zero, hon. And you know what? One of the best ways you can preserve purity, if that's really what you're trying to fucking do, go ahead and diddle yourself, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, the thing here is also notice how they're reacting to science.
Yeah.
Not
very incredulously.
Yeah.
Well, that was the other thing. This is also definitely true to life. No exaggeration. I live in a place that doesn't want to teach evolution in the beginning of the science books. You think the stickers with over the vagina pictures was bad? Imagine the stickers over an entire chapter.
Right.
And I just, I don't know. And for a movie that's supposed to be about a vagina, it definitely has a lot of flopping dicks in the background.
Well, you know, let's just make this clear that our director is gay.
No,
gay
I think
man.
It's really, honestly, I think he's just flipping the script here, you know.
Yeah, well, there's no question he's flipping the script. He is.
In that, typically you see the girls in the locker room in various states of undress, but all of them have been pretty much completely covered.
Right.
And it was all the dudes that were walking around and being objectified.
Well, you know, he's flipping all the tropes here, because as we get into the movie, you know, you always think of the final girls, right? All the girls, all the. But no, it's the final guys. I love your ass.
And see, he just has like butt pictures of ladies.
Right.
I swear to God, every Southern woman has had an iteration of that shirt at some point. Okay, there's that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yuck.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the one thing I say is when he gets his, he gets his. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, we can say that, and I don't mind you saying that because that literally just gave me goosebumps, shivers of grossness.
Yes. But again, I you know, they're showing all the pressures on a young female. And
well, yeah, and I think that's something that, and you know, Carl, I have to say this for everyone else out there, I am 100% not that all men woman. I'm not.
Right.
And I don't go off on the males and everything like that. But I guarantee you, not a single one of you men out there knows what, how real this movie is, okay? How real it is. Ask any single woman in your life, and I can guarantee you at one point or another, she has been come on to by a family member. 100%. I mean, I remember events where I was, like, you know, hanging out, and there'd be, like, a cool uncle or something, and it was like, yay, we're all having so much fun, and then my mom would grab me, and we would leave. And I was like, why? What did he say? You know, he said we were going to go to the pool and do this, and, you know, I recognize it much more as an adult, but, yeah, these people were fucking predators. There's no reason at all you should be telling a 12-year-old girl she looks hot in her new bikini.
Exactly.
And I can't count the times things like that have happened to me in my life, to the point that I can't count them because they're so frequent that they just fade into the background with the rest of the information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is for most women out there. And yes, it happens to men as well. Do not get me wrong. I 100% support abused men as well. I have some in my life and even in my family that have been abused by the women in their lives. But really, it's the children. It's the children that suffer the most. And this, starting with her from childhood, you know, it's going to keep going until something's done about it.
So we get to a line here that's pretty well demarcated in the film between, you know, allowance and force.
Exactly. That's why we talk about consent, because she's okay with that happening. Oh, no, she's not. So let's slow it down, okay?
Exactly. The point is, men, if they don't, if they show anything like that, you stop. You ask.
If they hesitate, you get express permission. They say no in the middle of doing something, you stop.
You stop. Absolutely.
I mean, the same goes with men, okay?
Absolutely.
People have to understand this isn't just a female issue. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've gotten a little crazy in the bedroom sometimes, and my dude has been like, no. And I'm like, okay, done. That's all you got to do is just stop. It happens with men as well, not as frequently. I can say that. I think part of that is because they are trained not to speak out.
Right.
When they're being harmed or uncomfortable. But also,
yeah, I mean,
take what they want.
My mom always said to me, you know, don't let them see you cry. You know, that's not being a man. All that sort of shit, you know, hold it in. I mean, I understand exactly why they did that. But personally, I think that was the wrong choice. And I have developed it into a much different person by allowing my feelings and saying what I need to say.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, both of my children were, you know, assigned female at birth, but I do have a non-binary child now, who may actually be male-leaning. I found out recently, which I don't care. My kid's my kid. But I always raised them differently. It was like, look, why are you crying? Do you know that you don't have to cry about this because it's not a big deal? It's okay if you need to, but there's not really a good reason to because everything's okay. You're fine, mm-hmm. aren't you? Yeah. Are your feelings a little hurt? Yeah. Well, you can cry about that for a second, but no need for fits. And I have, you know, I've gone off the deep end a few times in my life. Of course, every parent has, but I have tried to maintain a relatively gentle, logical parenting technique.
Okay, I'm going to stop
everybody
you here.
Everybody has emotions? Yeah.
Because we this whole sequence
yeah.
here is silence. And then you have to get to the point here where it goes over the line and you understand what this movie is about.
Yeah. Nope, right there. She's uncomfortable. Oh, this gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, this is tough.
I've been in those exact situations.
I know. No.
He hit her head. And he just keeps going.
So long.
Yeah. You're still peering his eyes. I think we know what just happened there. You get what you give, fucker. Kind of like kicks it away like, ew.
Welcome to Unicdom. Okay, so let's just call it what it is. Let's just say what we're talking about, and I'll let you do it.
Vaginal dentata.
Yep.
As in, she's got some teeth in her tootie.
Yes. The myth of vagina dentata goes across all races and places and ethnic groups. You know, Mexico,
yeah.
Aztecs to Africa to everywhere, and. I sent you an article, and in the article,
yes,
it quotes
yes.
Camille Paglia.
I actually read it right before the show.
And it's basically that,
it.
You know, when someone fucks, you know, someone has sex and he's male, the penis is enveloped by the vagina. And in those moments, the penis is lost. So this whole idea comes from a male fear and the myth does. Now, what if it was real? I love this. Throw out the lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
Old gospel hymn. And she is drifting away from purity into something else.
But, you know, honestly, I think one of the most true lines in this whole movie is what he just said to her while he was trying to rape her. You're
Which
still
was?
Pure in his eyes.
Yeah.
This is not her fault.
No.
This is,
rape,
you know.
It's not their fault. It's
yes.
never. A victim is never at fault. Period.
No. No. And even later in the movie, when things are maybe slightly more intentional, had these people not decided that they could take what they wanted,
then they wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah. And I know that sounds a lot like the whole, well, if you just follow the law, then the police won't hurt you. No, completely different instance here. This is her vagina is ultimately reacting to people who are intentionally hurting her.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't her fault. This is that motherfucker like, hey, don't stick your dick in a hole if you don't know what's on the other side, okay?
Exactly.
But people keep doing it. People keep doing it, and I don't understand. I wish more people in the world could see and appreciate movies like this for what they are, which is really a cautionary tale about not to be a forceful douchebag.
Yeah. It's a wonder,
because, again,
you know.
I have to reiterate that, yes, I do, when I am speaking about this, I do default to saying women. That does not discount the fact that I know that this also happens to men. It's not reported nearly enough, but I know because I talk to my male friends and I ask them about these kinds of things. And it's funny because they've never been asked something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that my ex was incredibly uncomfortable at work because he was the young, strapping, brawny dude, and all of the women, including the female owner of the business, sexually harassed him at work. And he didn't realize he was being sexually harassed. I was like, wait, they touched your nipples and you were really, really uncomfortable with that and you didn't feel good for the rest of the day? I was like, baby, that's sexual harassment. So, yes, it happens to men as well, and I want to make that very, very clear. So please excuse my defaulting to talking about women, but that's where my voice is coming from.
Well, let's just make this clear, too. And I've said this over the fall. I was homosexually raped. So, you know, it was a power thing with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, it happens to everybody. That scene where she's showering, that I did the same shower, trust me.
Oh, God, yeah. You want to take Furlough pads and fucking Comet to yourself.
Absolutely.
And notice the difference now. Notice how she was so energetic and positive.
Well, you know, she just had something really, really terrible happen to her. And
well,
so that's going to take out any false bravado. That's going to change your whole perspective.
And it is very cult-like. in these groups.
Well, you know, Joe Badon, who we absolutely adore, was a pastor and started out, you know, basically as a Jesus freak pastor. And any of these, any church can become cultish. Okay, it is more prevalent in conservative circles, you know, but you know, and of course they're going to turn their back on her.
Of course, exile from the garden,
yep.
Right there.
Look how young these people are.
Yep. Oh, and look, it's like broad-ass daylight, because of course that's the only time you're allowed to have a party, when you're pyrionic.
Right.
I love her faces in this. Her expressions are fucking perfect.
Oh, well, she's really good. She's really good. Now, this is 2008.
I thought it was 2007.
2007, I'm sorry.
Hey, I knew a few knowledge you didn't. I had to get that in there.
In high school and attended Juilliard, where she was a classmate of Jessica Chastain.
Oh.
No, but
I like her
good.
Better than Chastain, though.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, give me a time check here.
Let's see. I am 46:03:45.
46:03. Okay, I'm going to be probably a little ahead of you.
46:15, okay. 16.
Yeah, I'm about 8 seconds ahead. That's fine.
I was slightly ahead of you before, so
right.
Something must have happened.
Well, I went to check her on, and then it, like, stopped the movie. So
that happened to me earlier, too. I went to put the subtitles on, and for some reason it stopped it instead of just continuing while I was subtitling. And, I mean, even though he's a scrawny motherfucker in everything he plays, he does play a straight-up and very believable badass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, he could – he would totally punch that bitch on the front porch and
– like, she doesn't even believe it happened, right?
Yeah, she's, like, still in shock. I mean, which can last for – days.
Yeah.
There's a crab eating it. Or something. Yes. I don't know what that was.
Okay.
Just
think
love
about
how
that
phallic that is. Oh, no, not even. That was very. Oh, my God. I just got it. It was the vulvular opening with the teeth in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now she's trying to find her bloodied stump of a ex-lover.
And off goes the purity ring. She's not pure anymore.
By the way,
human.
That is the most ostentatious purity ring I've ever seen. Typically, they're just, like, an unadorned metal band. But I think
mm-hmm.
It is pretty.
So I'm
very much like that scene in the beginning of Legend.
Yeah. And she's trying to get the sticker off.
Yep. Easier if she had, well, I mean, I guess she did a good job there, but it would have been easier if she had just, like, used a hairdryer to soften the glue.
So, you know, this also makes the point that by not educating people, you know, you know, they're in worse shape than by knowing exactly what's happening. And, you know, if in a sex ed class, you know, you talked about consent and you talked about all these things. That's better than not talking about them.
Okay. Now, this is something like, obviously, we're being very candid in this show. And this is probably one of the, I don't want to say worst, but probably one of the most intensely hot button ones that we've done.
There we go.
Yeah.
But we are known to have a liberal backing on this network. You know, people
that listen to us know that. But what I was going to say with that is, let me tell you, I don't know what it's like for dudes, because obviously, like, you can see your bits, like, from birth. We can't. And the first time as a woman where you are either instructed to or figure out that you need to, or either way, the first time it happens in your life, and a lot of women, 50s and 60s, have never done this before because they come from a different time and this is not done. When you take a mirror and you just look at yourself down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's shocking.
Well,
you're
the only other movie I can think of that taps into this is Carrie. Because Carrie, of course, has her first menstruation, and that, you know, that's a very female Sorry, I got to stop now. This. Okay, I am male. I have never done this, but this has got to be uncomfortable for any woman.
Oh yeah, and you don't just lay on the table. You actually have to lay on the table, and they instruct you to scoot your hips all the way to the edge, so your ass is hanging off of the table, literally, and then they flip your knees to the side so that you are just spread fucking eagle. And, like, hang your ass off the table while they shove all kinds of cold, really painful stuff up you.
Scoop down. Yep. Is that, yep.
Yeah, and you keep wanting to do that with your gown, but you can't because they're going to roll it up over your hips. Yep, that.
When I first saw this, I said to myself, well, he didn't do anything wrong, but he does. you might not catch it on the first time, but he does.
Well, he does a lot of wrong things, and he doesn't have her legs open far enough. But that's okay. This is a movie.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it's wrong. He takes off the glove. Didn't catch that. That's a no-no.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see how he's been eyeballing her. If you've noticed where
right.
his eyes have been the entire examination.
Right.
And he's asking, how's this?
I love what happens here. It's so beautiful.
You didn't guess that that was wrong? Because, no, they don't test your flexibility in a fucking pelvic exam.
No.
He's shoving his whole hand in there, and I don't feel like he's using the speculum.
No. This is so well done.
I know. They're both like, what the hell is going on?
The guy had that daughter. It's cool. It's slow.
Sorry. That's just one of those things that I will find myself randomly screaming when shit doesn't make sense. It's just, I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to talk. We might have forgotten to mention how funny this movie actually is. By the way.
No, it's freaking hysterical. You know, this is, it's a very dark comedy.
Not Toby.
Still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, we did kind of give it away earlier, but she's still trying to figure it out.
Right. Well, let's face it, you know, if you got a horror movie and it's called Teeth and you get the setup here, you kind of get the idea. You should.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right. Uh-oh.
And he's having sex in the back.
Who let the door open? You know he saw her dead on the ground.
Yeah. So Lenny doesn't have a large part in this, but one of the things is, you know, he's the only good male of the whole crew.
He's so good. And by the way, very like Sam Shepard, sexy old ass man there.
Yeah.
It's that super silver fox thing he's got going. And something about a man with a button-up shirt and the rolled-up sleeves. You just...
Yep.
It changes things. Oh, now she is pissed.
Yeah. schoolers too. You know, the point is, if this were real, and I think it actually makes the point, if this were real, then you've got a situation where men might not do what they do, right?
Yep.
You know, it's about female empowerment.
It is. The population is a lot of Native Americans.
Okay, right here is one of the most visual clues you've got. This is Nightmare on Elm Street. And Mitchell Lichtenstein said they did this shot specifically for that. And they wanted the hand to come down instead of up. Did you catch that when you first saw this? Did you make that connection?
No.
Candlelight is so sexy. Jesus God. A little overkill, don't you think?
Right.
Seriously, kids.
You got a crying girl banging on your garage bedroom door.
And you want to go get
laid. She's got vagina dentata.
Yeah.
Fucking drugged her.
You know, there's a great song by John Hyatt. We were talking about John Hyatt the other day, called Little Head. And trust me, men think of their little head before they use their actual brain.
I know. And I mean, women are totally capable of that. But when we think with our little lady brains, we usually die. So we've kind of evolved not to. Aww. She's just so nice, and she is pure.
Mm-hmm.
And see, at first, like, if you're not thinking about the creepiness in the background, he seems like he's being really good and sweet, and especially if he's been given a pill and things like that. It's very easy to misinterpret somebody's intentions.
Yeah. This is uncomfortable in a lot of ways. Because
Dan, he was using a vibrator on. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Because, yes, just because right now she is in a dream state and things might seem to feel good to her,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean she wants it or actually likes it.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't even know how to put a condom on.
No.
Okay. and everything this fucker has done has been wrong.
So he uses sedatives on her to get her to do this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny. For some reason, I didn't really catch that the first time I saw this.
Yeah.
So he's as much an asshole as anyone else.
Yeah. Well, he gets his in the end, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he did this all intentionally. Like, he tried to ask her out that day, and she was like, no. And then she came over, and he realized that she was in a state, and she was distressed. He took advantage.
Way of taking advantage.
He acted like the nice guy.
Right.
Yeah, let me draw you a bath. You need to relax. Come here and just hold me. Cry on me. It's all good, baby. It's all good. You just relax. You know, nothing to worry about here. And then suddenly you got somebody pulling on your naked-ass body because he gave you a pill that's supposed to help you relax, and really it's just going to fucking knock you out enough that he can rape you. I mean, seriously, as a woman, you can't even go to somebody's house that you don't know implicitly and get a fucking Tylenol from them.
Mm-hmm.
I had a neighbor one time that I was pretty cool with, lived directly across the street from me for many years. You know, he helped me with my car occasionally. I went over there one day. He gave me a beer, and I usually take a little bit of salt and lime in my Corona. He gave me a beer with some salt and lime in it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't salt. The doctor
Jesus.
Told me it was Special K. Yeah. This motherfucker lived across the street from me. We had known him for years.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, Kyle.
But this is why movies like this are so impactful. Because there aren't a lot of women that will be as vocal as I am about the things that have happened in my life. And I still don't talk about everything.
And again, I think what this really makes clear is what the line is.
Consent.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Oh. You don't know what you're doing, kid. I love how he reacts. Shit, oh shit.
Well, damn it again.
Some hero. Exactly. Ma!
Oh, dear. Does her mom have it, too?
No, notice in the background you have the nurse with the limp.
Yeah. It's about what I'm looking like right now.
Yeah. This is probably Lenny's best scene right here. This is a good scene.
It's a great scene.
Yeah.
He's so polite, too.
Oh.
There seems to be a story here. Smack.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's up with all these high school bros having, like, massive hangdowns? I just have to ask.
Okay. It's what it is, okay?
You son of a bitch. Don't underestimate the old guy.
Oh, yeah. This is the best scene.
I hated this part, though.
It's a good scene with Lenny. It's the best scene he's got in the film. He's not in the film that much. And he was never, you know, he only starred in one film. He was a supporting actor all the way through. But I loved him in Twin Peaks. He was the agoraphobic in Twin Peaks.
Yeah. And did anybody else notice, we haven't brought this up, the name of his dog?
Okay, I missed it. Mother.
The name of the dog is Mother, and he said it right there. My mother was a bitch. You've heard me say that, haven't you, Carl?
No.
Get back in your cage. What I tell people when they're being bad. Props for the girlfriend here. I mean,
yeah.
She's just a straight-up background character. She doesn't even have a name, but she plays this flawlessly.
Well, it's never specifically said, but it is intimated that the nuclear plant behind it caused this.
Well, have you
noticed
agree with that? Well, I'm just going to bring something up and let me see how you feel about this. Did you notice at the very beginning of the movie that the silos were both completely white?
Yes.
And as we have progressed throughout the movie, like, you'll see, I've been watching them in the background. They slowly but surely, in every scene that you see them, they are darker and darker.
Nice. I had not noticed that. Very good eye.
Oh,
and Vincent Price was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and look at the posters in the back. That one is a Deadly Snake. You know, we've been talking about the serpents in this movie a lot. And of course, she is going to appeal to every one of his fantasies ever. She is going to look as pure and innocent as possible.
But at this point, this is she's playing him, okay?
Oh, that's 100% obvious.
What? I said she's playing him.
Yeah.
She's got this planned.
Yes.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah, just wait. Again, can we bring up his beautiful ass eyeballs?
Yeah.
He has to do it that way so that he can see his dick going into them.
Right.
I've learned that about men. They like to see it.
And that's the whole point. You know, again, I go back to the Camille Paglia quote. Men lose their dicks when they, you know, into a vagina. The vagina absorbs it.
That actually hit me really hard when I read that article, because I did. I know we had 2 minutes before the show, but I read really fast, Carl. And I read that part, and I was like, it suddenly made sense why a lot of times during coitus, people have been like, oh, I love seeing it go in and out of here. And I'm like, that's kind of creepy. I don't want to look at the gross parts. How about we just make it feel good and not talk about it?
So now it's her controlling vagina tentacle. Right? It's about control now. She has control over the situation, even though he thinks she doesn't. Right?
Yeah. Well, technically, he hasn't done anything wrong to her yet, because she did invite him to have the sex with her.
Come on, the finger. Back when they were kids.
In this moment. But that's here different. We go. This is where it's getting creepy. Okay, so everybody hasn't figured that out. He tried to stick his fingers in his little sister.
Right.
And now that he finally got to stick his dick in her, all his fears are confirmed.
Yep.
Oh, he's got a Prince Albert. How tacky.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
didn't even like it. Oh, spit out the ring end.
And here we come to the end. And this, I think, is one of the best endings to a film like this I've ever seen. And look how dark they are now.
They were darker earlier, but yeah, this scene was definitely filmed earlier in the movie because that looks like about the second or third scene I saw them in. Because that last one, they were black almost completely down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might have to do with when they shot it, too. You know, in
well, that's
post.
What I'm saying. But I genuinely think that they were using that as an illustration of
mm-hmm.
what was happening.
So she is hitchhiking out of the town.
Mm-hmm. We know what happens with female hitchhikers. I got to see what happens to this guy.
Ah, one gas was cheap.
God, I remember when $2.79 was expensive.
Oh, absolutely. I remember getting it for like 75 cents a gallon.
Right. I found gas for $3.99 a gallon yesterday and was like, gotta fill up right now. Don't even care if I have the money. Like, I will go over on the credit limit to fill up the tank for $4 a gallon gas.
He's playing games with her.
Mm-hmm. Fucker.
And look at her look. This is one of the great looks. Oh, there you got it, kids.
So, like you said, there you fucking have it. And do you understand now why this is a superhero movie to me? This is a superhero origin story.
Mm-hmm.
No lie.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what you've got here, too, it's wonderful where you have a real female perspective. Even though this was written by a gay man, you know, and you can confirm this is a female empowerment story.
I have said this 100 times since I saw this movie the first time. This is
mm-hmm.
definitely a female empowerment movie. This is a feminist manifesto of the highest order. And I think one reason that especially a lot of men, again, have not really made this movie the smashing success it should have been is because on that side of the spectrum, most people don't realize how true this entire movie is.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the, you know, vagina dentata, whatever, everything else in this movie has happened.
Yeah.
More than once. probably to any woman you know. I mean, like, I literally have experiences that don't exactly mirror everything in that movie. And yes, I have had a very fucked up history as far as sexual abuse and things like that are concerned. So I get a little bit more of the perspective. But all of that happens on the daily. No exaggeration. And it's normalized. It's okay.
Very true.
And I think if more people realized that this wasn't as much of a satire or a, quote, comedy as they thought it was, that this isn't comedy, it's funny because it's true kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we could be rid of so, so many misconceptions about things.
Mm-hmm. But now one thing I do want to say as the movie is going through its credits here, we should at least talk about RAIN.org, which is basically about national sexual assault. And the telephone hotline is 1-800-656-4673. I will repeat that. It is 1-800-656-4673. And if you have been sexually assaulted, if you need help, if you need counseling, place to start. So please call that number, 1-800-656-4673.
Absolutely.
So
and just like we say for all of our survivors of depression and, you know, suicidal ideation and things, please, if anything has happened or if you feel in any way wrong about your life, please reach out to someone. Even if you've got to fucking email us here at Deviant Legion, one of us will always be here to talk with you if we need it. And just know that there's people out there in the world that you don't know, that don't know you, but they still care about you and they want you to do well.
Absolutely. So any last words about the film or that before we get into housekeeping?
You know, honestly, that is one of the few films that I can say in the world it absolutely speaks for itself.
Yeah.
It really does.
I agree. You know, when I describe this film, you know, to people, I've always called it a really dark comedy, and it is very dark. But you know what? I think I'm going to change that. I'm going to say it's a dark, real comedy, not a horror comedy. It's real.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way I'm going to say it from now on.
Because it is. So, I mean, other than obviously the supposedly false, we have not, you know, had a lot of, you know, verified cases. Like, we haven't had any verified cases where they just appear and bite off dicks, but there have been cases in the world where they have found, you know, abnormalities such as teeth formed in crevices they're not supposed to be. So,
right.
But no, it's very, very, very true to life, especially from a female and a high school female's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it wasn't from her exact perspective, you know, it was a third person of the whole thing, it was still very, very prominently her story. And
right.
That is the story that a lot of women in the world have right now. And I feel like if more people understood this, we wouldn't be going through the things that we're currently going through with our government.
Absolutely. So with that being said, we're going to do a quick housekeeping. So tomorrow on Cathode Ray Mission, Adam Ferenz is going to be talking about with a bunch of his regulars the British comedy The Thick of It, which stars Peter Capaldi as a very foul-mouthed English politician. It's a wonderful show if you don't know it, but they'll be talking about that. And then on Sunday, okay, we're not going to do anything on Saturday. We don't have anything planned. But on Sunday, we're going to do a special Rock This Town Radio with TC. Do you want to talk about that, Miss Rachel?
I do, because we are doing a special collaboration this week. Well, I guess it's technically next week, but it's because it's Sunday, but you know what I mean. We're going to be doing a very, very special collaboration where I and Carl have been invited, you know, from my show Down the Rabbit Hole with Rachel. Carl and I have been invited by TC, who is my pretty much permanent guest host now. If any of you guys want to try out for that, go right ahead. We have been invited to his show that he does on Sundays, which is Rock This Town Radio with TC. And let me tell you, it is fantastic. And we are going to be doing the Our Town series, where each of us is going to pick a number of songs that represent our home, our place, our town, and, you know, brief description of why. Let you listen to some real great music, some real great history about it. And there you go. That's going to be on Sunday, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. Again, call into your normal number. And that would be at 8 Eastern, 7 p.m. Central.
Right.
Looking forward to it.
And we each are going to be talking about the cities we live in now. So that's going to be Pittsburgh for TC. That's going to be New York City for me. And for you, it's going to be split between Little Rock and Nashville, right?
I live in Memphis, but yes. It's going to be split between Little Rock and Memphis. Because I am technically still splitting some time between the two, but really just because I have a song from Arkansas that I have to play. No questions asked. Got to do it. So other than that, we will be doing songs about Memphis as well. If you call in or listen in expecting to hear the song Walking in Memphis, you can put on your blue suede shoes and walk right the fuck away from here. Not going to happen.
No. And you're not going to hear New York, New York either. Trust me. Not going to happen. Now, for the next week, we are somewhat open. There will be stuff that is happening, but I don't have it down. But I do have one that is set in stone, and that's on August 1st, which is a Monday. And this has been, we've been trying to schedule this forever. But we have a panel of four of us, which is John Killian, Rhymes Marshall, Vicky, Adam Ferenz, and me. And we are picking our favorite science fiction TV program of the millennium. And we each have different shows that we're picking. So if you want to find out about the best shows to watch and binge watch, and you definitely want to check this one out. No question whatsoever.
Oh, especially because Adam's going to be on this episode, and he is the TV fucking guru. Oh, my God.
And don't forget, Vicky's going to be on. She is the queen of sci-fi. We've got got Limes Marshall, who runs Ice Creams TV, the YouTube channel. And you got John Killian, XD Planets. And you got me, just little old me that runs TV and Legion, doesn't know shit. So, yeah. There you go.
Well, and I might have some ideas for next. Did you say Monday was the first?
Monday, August 1st.
Okay, so what we are doing, if I can go ahead and take this for a second, Carl, what we are going to be doing for the next month is we are continuing our summer fun series, but we are taking it just a step further because, guys, it's the dog days. It is the dog days of summer right now. I literally have a straight, like, week or 10 days that I know of, that it's going to be 100 degrees every single day. It's bad. And you know what it reminds me of? Hell. It reminds me of hell.
Yeah.
And Carl and I have
agreed.
Decided that to celebrate the dog days of, well, for what a lot of you is going to be the end of summer, and for me is just second summer, we will be doing hell movies from hell.
And I can guarantee one of them is going to be Highway to Hell. Absolutely friggin' guarantee it.
And after that, we're planning on a back to school, maybe, I guess, like Hell Week type series, you know, doing back to school movies and things of that nature.
And we were also talking about doing children's films, screwed up children's films too, for that.
Which is very convenient because my screwed up little Hellcat just came out here to check to see if I was still on the podcast. So you guys might actually get a few little chirps from the 5-year-old in a few weeks. I'm not
cool.
going to be able to keep her out of the room if I'm watching kids' movies.
No. No.
I had to shove her out of the back room.
When...
Yeah, I definitely do. Well, we know Ree can be a little timid. Lise Bromwin has no problem saying anything, everything, all of the time. She's the reason I have to keep the phone on mute half the time because she's crawling in my lap and going, hey, mama, what's this? And I did have to put it on mute and shove her out of the room before Dick Scott bit off earlier.
Yes. That's a good choice there. All right, folks.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to call it a night, unless you got anything else to say, Miss Rach.
Oh, I probably do, but I'm going to keep it to myself right now. I have too many things to say, but kicking in again. So before this gets too off the rails, you guys have a wonderful night.
Absolutely. And we're all going to say good night now. Say good night, Miss Rachel.
Good night, Miss Rachel.
Good night, John
boy.
Don't let the bed bugs bite. Good night, everyone.
Bye.